A rodent puppets his way into the world of French cuisine. A robot finds love on an uninhabitable Earth. Carl goes on a new adventure. Buzz, Woody, and the gang go to daycare. Mater gets caught up in international intrigue. Merida turns her mom into a bear. And the origin of Mike and Sully. This time on the Oscar should have gone to Pixar, Part 2.
And the Oscar goes to...
And the Oscar goes to...
And the Academy Award.
Not yet, Jack.
The Oscar goes to...
And the Oscar goes to...
Ratatouille.
And the Oscar goes to
Wall-E.
And the winner is Up.
And the Oscar goes to
Toy Story 3.
The Oscar goes to Rango.
And the Oscar goes to Brave.
The Oscar goes to
Frozen.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I am hyped to talk about this, and I have some hot takes.
She's got some takes. She's got some takes coming at us.
I got some takes, and I'm going to tell you something. They're not cold. They're not cold. You know what I'm saying?
Unlike the temperature here in Philadelphia, we had like 5 days of like spring, early summer, and then it just plunged back into rainy, and it's like the high was like 58 today, which is fine. Like, I don't want it to be hot, but... You know, you get a little taste of like 75.
And you want that all the time. That's why I am so thrilled to live in just beautiful Southern California.
Well, my understanding is that that no longer exists in Southern California.
Oh, no. Everything's
and it's just like, it just like rains all the time there. Los Angeles has got more rain this year than Seattle.
I saw that. Somebody tweeted some like meme that was just the guy from Captain Phillips saying, look at me. I'm the rainy city now. And that made me laugh.
Well, yeah.
It's nice now though. I don't know. Maddie sent me something the other day. I was again walking around and, got a text message from him, an article about people in Los Angeles, their happiness levels have like plummeted. Everybody's miserable basically.
Yeah, it's also the most toxic city on Earth, air-wise. Mm-hmm. Throw away the people's personalities. But, yeah. That can't be right, though, right? It can't be more toxic than, like, Mexico City or, like, New Delhi or... Right?
I think it's... I think like, Beijing and, like, Mexico City are both, like, they're more densely populated. I think the issue is that L.A. is, like, a valley, and there's the ocean.
It traps it.
It's that whole thing. Mexico City also worst traffic. Fun fact about I have been to Mexico City and it was phenomenal and I loved everything about it and it was perfect.
My wife went. She loved it. Yeah,
it rules. But the traffic sucks. If you want to go from one neighborhood to the other, you have to take an Uber and it takes like 40 minutes.
Today we had to go pick up our dog today in Broad Street, which is like the main street that runs through Philadelphia. They have the Broad Street Run once a year, which it's a 10-mile run all along Broad Street from North Philly to South Philly. And so a normal 12-minute drive took us 45 minutes because there was the only way you could cross over was you had to like drive up to the highway.
Yeah.
So that was a nightmare.
Boo. Anyway, welcome back to Traffic Talk.
Welcome back to Traffic Talk.
Traffic. Here's what we've hit today on the pod, our movie podcast. Weather and traffic.
Yeah. People love
on
it.
The ones.
People keep coming back for more.
People come for this topical stuff, you know, and in a week when they listen to this, they will love the talk about what the weather and the traffic has been like.
Yeah. Also, I mean, I'm assuming while we record, just to date us even further, Kendrick's going to drop like 3 more diss tracks. So
I'm going to tell you something. I am staying very far as somebody with the musical taste and other taste of a gay man. I do not indulge. I have not listened to any new Taylor Swift stuff. I do not understand the Kendrick Drake thing. I'm just listening to Espresso on repeat.
I was about to say, the only thing you're doing is working late because you're a singer.
Because I'm a singer.
Yeah.
I truly feel like I have a problem with the amount of times that I've listened to that song.
Now, to be fair, that song does sort of relate to our podcast because mm-hmm. it's about Barry Keoghan.
It is. I think about him every single time that I hear her high-pitched little, I don't relate to desperation. And that says something about Barry Keoghan. Did you watch his Hot Ones, by the way?
I didn't. I'm sure it's wonderful.
He's a strange man.
Yeah. He seems strange. I don't see that working out in the long term, the two of them. But I think it's a cute fling.
But it's cute for now. Yeah. She's cute. Yeah. He's weird. Go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
So now that we've gotten all that stuff out of the way, should we jump into the Pixar?
I think we should jump into the Pixar because I have so much to say. What a run of movies. And other animated things.
I think I teased on the last episode that I think these first four films are Pixar's best stretch of four.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
That being said, does that mean I should think they should have won four Oscars?
We'll maybe not.
Maybe not. Oscars. Maybe not.
Oscars. Maybe not.
Let's
Oscars.
Talk about...
Maybe you were wrong.
Yeah. Let's talk about 2007 first. And we'll start, you know, with the Pixar film, and that's Ratatouille. Now, this is a big one for you. Everyone knows you're
a
famous chef, yeah, and you love rodentia.
Yep.
Love France.
Big rat head over here.
You love food.
Mm-hmm. I do love France, and I do love food, both things very important to me. I had not watched this movie since it came out. This movie fucking slaps so hard. I love this movie because when I first saw it, I was like, this is good. And I think in the intervening years, I have become more of a foodie. And I fucking love this movie. I think it's so mm-hmm. good. I just think it's great. I just think it's fun and it has a good message, right?
Uh-huh. Everyone can cook.
Anyone can cook.
Anyone can cook.
Not everyone, but anyone. Mm-hmm. Anyone can cook. And it's very French.
Is it weird that there's a Frenchman named Linguini? That's strange, right?
That's weird. That's kind of weird that the main guy's name is Linguini. That's a really good point.
What if you had to pick a French food that encapsulates the character Linguini, what would you have spitballed as a better name choice there?
Why not call him Pate?
Interesting.
Like a sassy version of Patty. Pate! Hey, Pate! Get over here, Pate! Something like that.
Okay.
The scene where that rat goes down his chef's coat and is biting him all over is...
Yeah.
Evocative.
Disturbing.
Yeah. It's disturbing. Yeah. This is one of those tough ones. I don't have tons to say.
Yeah.
Other than I did cry.
I did cry as well. We'll reveal that in a second.
I think that's
the scene of the movie, which is interestingly not directly about either Remy or Linguini.
Yeah, totally. Totally, which is so interesting.
I mean, I could have been wrong. What if you had said, that's not what I'm talking about? That's not
I don't know. I'm dying. Now I'm like, well, it's got to be the one part. It's got to be the part.
Did you relate to the woman at the beginning of the movie using a shotgun to try and kill the rats?
And by the way, got way too close. I was like, that does not seem like an effective way to kill a rat. But yet...
I can also tell you, like, obviously we love these rats. We love Remy. I think it's unfortunate that, you know, people speculate, did Remy kill his first wife before immediately getting remarried? We'll never know. But,
we'll never know.
I do think if I was that woman and I walked in and saw 300 rats, my first thought would not be to try and kill them.
She walked in and she saw the two of them and went to shoot them, and then she shot a bunch in the ceiling, and then the way that came down and then they were all there, that's the stuff of fucking nightmares.
I would have run until I hit the Seine, and then I would be floating dead in it.
Yeah, I read another article the other day. I sound like my mother. I read an article. This is what she does all the time now. Reads articles.
Did you see the article in Harper's?
Did you see the article? She's reading fucking Harper's Bazaar. No, what happens is it's something that got sent to her on Instagram, and she's like, "Well, that's an article. That's an article. Yeah. Is it? Did you read it though, or did you look and say, okay?
Was it a meme, Mom? Was it a meme?
Was it
one page? That's not an article.
But this is a real news story about a kid who thought there was a monster in his closet, and it was actually 5,000 bees in the wall."
Oh.
Who made a nest?
It was Candyman.
Is that a thing? Candyman does?
Yeah, he was like made of bees.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, I know, famously, Craig, I don't
love horror movies.
I don't do horror.
Yeah.
I don't fucks. I love this movie. I love that. Also, can I say something? And we'll get to this later on with some other movies. Other animated movie. I like the device of a narrator, or like even like I like that Remy narrates it, obviously.
Yeah.
But I also really love the chef character, Gusto. I love that Gusto like appears and kind of talks him through stuff and whatever. I think the ghost of Gusto. But I think that's like a nifty device, like a Greek chorus or something.
Yeah.
That comes later on in another movie. I like that. I like that sort of stuff. And I like a narration.
And Megan, when did you cry?
I cried when they served the ratatouille to the critic.
Anton Ego.
Anton Ego. And it flashed and went into his eye, and he had the memory of coming home after school and his mom making him ratatouille.
And you know what, Megan? That's when I cried too.
Yay! We cried at the same part.
Did it make you think of when Harry in like 70 years is a crotchety old restaurant critic? That he'll, you know, take a sip of a Negroni and he'll think back to...
Mother's Milk. He'll go...
Mother's Milk. Yeah.
I recognize this taste. God, I hope in 70 years he's fucking living the high life, eating Michelin-starred shit in Paris. You know what?
Yeah.
No, I hope he's fucking cooking it.
Great. Yeah.
How are those rats paying for their meal at the end? It's like, don't steal stuff, but then they have like a little, they have like the restaurant, right?
Well, so they open up the regular restaurant that Linguini and Remy are, and then there's like the rat restaurant.
Right.
I feel like the rat restaurant is basically just, it's there, but they don't actually have to pay for their food.
Yeah. I don't think they're paying. I don't think they're paying in the rat restaurant.
No.
Love it. Love this movie. Great movie.
It's a great film. The animation looks great in it.
Yep.
I should also say. Lots of rules of a kitchen. I thought it was interesting. There's a lot of explainers in this movie too that I like. Like, I don't think it's distracting, but like when like they're like, these are the rules of the kitchen.
Yeah.
It's like, this is something that a young, like someone that's interested in perhaps becoming like a cook or a chef could be like a really tipping off point for them, I feel
like. I guess that's, I'm happy to hear that you were interested in that too, because I was like, I wonder if I just am into this because I like cooking and restaurants and stuff, but it was very, I love that when Gusto's ghost was quizzing him on like, who's the sous chef, who's, you know, doing the mise en place, like who's at the saucier, whatever, all that stuff. And then and then the girl, the chickadee there, what's her name, whatever, the French girl.
I can never remember her name, but
I don't remember, but with like, you know, keep your arms close to your body and this, that, and the other. I loved it. I thought it was great. I also love, like, Remy cooking is very funny. Just the thing of, like, him throwing stuff in and, like, and mincing up the thyme in his little rat hands. It's disgusting when you think about it. Like, it is disgusting, but it's also...
Yeah, if they do a live-action version of Ratatouille, I don't
want to
watch that.
Wouldn't work. Wouldn't work.
Yeah, that one won't work, probably.
Although rats are not my number one fear. My number
snakes.
One fear, more than snakes, more than spiders, more than anything.
Bugs.
No, cockroaches, specifically.
Cockroaches. So if they did like a ratatouille, but it was like Joe's apartment.
Wouldn't happen. Couldn't be. No, thank you. One time there was a cockroach in.
I mean, we'll talk about a cockroach in just a few moments.
Yeah, we will. We will. There was a cockroach in my apartment in New York, and one of my roommates and I, we shut it in our third roommate's room. And that was a bad thing that I did.
There was a cockroach in my apartment in New York, and I just moved to Los Angeles. That's when I decided. I decided in that moment. I moved to LA. And
I cannot lie and tell you that it did not factor in, because I truly have like a real fear. Again, Broke Down Palace. Remember that? Mm. Remember that cockroach lays fucking eggs in Kate Beckinsale's ears? Ear? Bad. Bad. They're gross. They're bad.
They are gross and bad. So I identified probably Ratatouille won the Oscar for Best Animated Film, but I identified probably the runner-up was Persepolis.
Yeah.
Which is based on a graphic novel about a young Iranian woman who is growing up kind of as Iran goes from the Shah to the Ayatollah. And then her moving around to different places in Europe and returning to Iran, and which I also think is quite a lovely film.
It's gorgeous. It's very hard to compare the two because it's like, it is very apples and oranges, because Persepolis is not for children. I mean, Ratatouille is like a great movie and, you know, anybody can enjoy it, but like it's a kid's movie. This is very much not a kid's movie. But it's really beautiful. It's really, again, it's also really beautifully animated. I think it looks really, really cool. The visual style is a little different than it's not quite as flat as some of the other stuff, but it's, I think it looks great. I think it's a really good movie. It's a very moving movie.
Yeah.
Did it make me cry like in Ratatouille? No, but it was very moving.
I'm surprised. There was a moment I thought that you would cry, that I got a little teary.
Oh, what was that?
And that's when she travels to Europe for the first time, and her mom's like keeping up a brave face, and then she looks back one last time, and her mom's like collapsed into her dad's arms.
That was emotional. That was, I don't think I cried, but I maybe welled up a little bit, because that was emotional. Yeah, this girl went through a lot, man.
I felt like maybe, you know, obviously you growing up in Exeter, New Hampshire, didn't have quite the same socio-political landscape. But, you know, having the boy come out as gay that you thought was going to be your love.
And well, that's which time? Which time are you referring to? Because that happened a lot. You know what's funny? You told me to watch this movie called Holy Spider. And I don't know if I told you this, but I did watch that movie.
You did tell me, yes.
I did tell you. Oh,
and
sorry.
Thanks for taking my advice from 15 months ago.
From 15 months ago. Great. Anyway, I guess I'm just, as we're talking about Persepolis, the two movies are sort of like, even though one is animated and one is not, they're sort of mixing in my brain a little bit, which I think is they're converging, which I think is a real testament to how effective Persepolis is, because I almost don't think of it as an animated movie. Like it's almost like it's, the characters are very, it's so well drawn, and it's by drawn I mean like everything's so well thought out and so well executed that the characters are so rich you don't even think of them as, it's hard to compare to Remy the Rat, you know?
Right. Yeah, for sure. I think, so one thing that I think is going to be interesting, particularly about these first four movies that we're going to talk about, is I think ultimately when we do our Pixar rankings, like all four of these movies are going to be like pretty high up my list.
Mm-hmm.
And like Ratatouille is like, maybe like, I feel like it's going to be like top 3 to 4 Pixar for me. And yet I think I would have given the Oscar to Persepolis. Now,
really?
Would I want to watch Persepolis or Ratatouille
Again?
Which one would I throw back on? Obviously Ratatouille. But I think, I don't know, maybe just because ultimately of the message and everything, especially during this time, I feel like if these two movies came out last year, Persepolis would have won instead. I feel like
100%.
It was the exact same thing. Because it's a much more international academy and everything like that.
Yeah. Well, and the shine, and to be fair too, like the shine from Pixar has worn off a little bit. It was very much like they could do no wrong, and it's a part of Disney. It's they've missed several times, but I think I would still go Ratatouille just because I guess my thing is I was really surprised by how watchable that movie was. Like, yeah. I remember it being good, but it definitely is in my top like 3-4 Pixar movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't think there's really a raw, I mean, I think both of them are great answers, honestly. Like, this isn't like a situation where I'm like, why would you say that?
Right.
Both very good films. Let's move on to 2008 and talk about Wall-E.
Pretty good. Honestly, how long did you work on that?
When did we do our last podcast? I got fired from my job. I have not left the apartment.
No. Well, good to know that it paid off for that moment.
Yeah.
Just like the fact that I recycled the plastic cup that I got my matcha latte in this morning is going to pay off for the planet down the road. I learned my lesson. I watched Wall-E and I recycle.
Would you say this film was a realistic interpretation of Earth in, like, I don't know, 4 years?
It's funny, when I first saw this movie, I was like, man, we really got to do something.
Yeah.
And now, for those of you following along, it's later. Both, like, the existentially, like, the clock, whatever, is ticking. The doomsday clock, and also, like, it's later time-wise than in my life.
We're in trouble. I don't know what to say.
That's a ding against this movie. This is a dark movie.
No.
This movie is... Well, this definitely movie...
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
This movie, and I'll say this, too, for the next one that we're going to talk about. I had not seen these for a while. They're kind of... I don't want to say disjoint. This one's, it's not disjointed. Mm-hmm. The movie totally changes when they go to space.
Yes.
And I think it's still interesting, but it's less serious of a movie. I think it suffers a little bit from that. And I wish that they had maybe just kept it. You do it. Well, the Wall-E.
Wall-E.
Right, better.
Eve.
Put on your Sunday clothes. Wait, I did play Irene Malloy, so I could sing that. There's lots of world out there. Da-da, sell cravat and satin.
Here's the thing. The Hello Dolly songs they use, bangers.
They slap. Yeah, bangers. Yep. Great. That movie's great. Anyway, that's my only critique about Wall-E is I think it's I love the like Wall-E Eve stuff and like and the scene in space when they're like kind of going around and he's using the fire extinguisher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that stuff and it's a little more arty, I guess is the word, and a little again less for kids than when they get to the spaceship and it's like the spaceship is revolting and, you know, whatever, the robots and the people are all fat because they just get carted around and things. Right. I was just kind of like, all right, okay. But
I agree with you. I think it is a bigger thing with the next movie we're going to talk about. I think there's like I think that's actually, it's definitely a ding against the movie. It's also like really interesting with that film. But I really like Wall-E. What I was going to ask is, what do you, hypothetically, Ariel, the mermaid.
The little mermaid?
Yeah.
The little one. Okay.
Yeah. Shows up and sees Wall-E's trash haul. What does she do?
Does she have legs at this point?
I'm sure she can walk. Yeah.
I mean, she's got to have legs, right?
She also has a voice.
Here's what I think she says. Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat?
Cause you know what I think she does?
What?
Comes. It's just so much treasure.
Good thing she has legs then. I don't know what that would look like.
Yeah, me
with
neither.
A fishtail.
Yeah, I think she'd be very into it.
Yeah. No, I think so too. She'd be like, move over, Eve. Move over. Wally's my man now. Put on your Sunday clothes. More like take them off. Am I right?
Hey-o. I think it's very cute when he's trying to hold Eve's hand.
That is.
I wrote that down.
So cute. When he's like, trying to flip it up.
You know
and
what
stuff?
Else is? You know what else is cute is when they're in like the robot like junkyard area and there's the mice.
Yes.
Like the mice, but they're made of, but they're like computer mice.
Yeah, that's really cute.
The Did you
cockroach
cry?
Is cute.
The cockroach is cute. The cutest cockroach.
Yep, the cutest cockroach. I welled up. I'm going to say I didn't cry, but I welled up.
Do you know what the word was that got me?
What?
Directive. Remember when he's like kind of like wiped and then like.
Oh, yeah.
Or she says directive. I can't remember which
I don't
one.
Remember, anyway, but I know. Yeah.
It's at the end of the movie and it seems like Wally's never going to be himself.
When it seems like Wally's not going to be himself. Yeah. I welled up at that part, and I did well up when he tried to, or not when he tried to hold her hand, when she saw the memory, like everything that had happened when she was like in her like mode or whatever, and it was all him like putting the umbrella over her and whatever and doing all that stuff. I welled up at that too. It's a very nice movie.
Yeah, excellently made.
Yeah,
obviously like a callback to Chaplin films. I think that's probably the biggest inspo. Mm-hmm. It won the best animated film. I list it as the probably number one competitor because it has had three sequels and made a ton of money is Kung Fu Panda.
I'm going to tell you something. I do say skadoosh on the reg.
Skadoosh, which do you think we would have gotten skadoosh if we didn't have Kapow? Lightning McQueen's Kapow.
Literally, the fact that you're comparing the two of those makes me want to reach through the computer and throttle you. How dare you? How dare you? Kapow makes no sense. Skadoosh is like the sound that his belly makes. You know what I'm saying? It's onomatopoeia or whatever. It sounds like, you know, the thing that it is. Skadoosh. It's great. I love it. I use it when I throw Harry around.
You're like, all right, skadoosh.
Yeah. I pop him into bed at the end of the day and I go, skadoosh. This movie is fine.
I had never seen this movie before.
Oh, really?
I'd seen Kung Fu Panda 4.
Because you see everything in theaters.
Because I see everything in theaters now. And I got to admit, when I saw Kung Fu Panda 4, I was like, this is such a cash grab. Like, this is clearly just like, let's throw another one out to make some money because we're not even going to pay for the voice acting cast of the Fierce Five or Fearsome Fivesome or whatever they're called.
Is Jack Black in Kung Fu Panda 4?
Jack Black is in it. And then he has interactions with, I think it's a Fox. You want to guess who it's voiced by? I'll give you a hint. It's a actor that voices a character three times a year in a movie now.
Oh my god!
It's Awkwafina.
Oh, it's Awkwafina. Ugh.
Yeah.
Wow. Does she need more money? Maybe she does. I don't know.
I mean, listen, get that money, Nora,
get
from
it.
Queens. But
yeah, who knows how long your career is going to last?
But then I saw this first movie, and honestly, Kung Fu Panda 4 like has a lot of beats that are just exactly the same as in the first film, and I was like, oh, this is even more of a cash grab than I thought it was.
They didn't really even bother writing a new script. It's fine.
Yeah. It's funny when he's eating the peaches and the tortoise is like, oh, you found the sacred peach tree.
Yeah, that's fun.
Good. That's a good gag.
Yeah. Jack Black is like very likable. So like just hearing his voice goes a long way. But I'm good on my Kung Fu Pandas.
Also, like I did notice, I don't know if you noticed this, John Wick 4, the stair bit, that's stolen from Poe in Kung Fu Panda. He climbs all the way up a bunch of stairs and then he falls all the way down them.
Isn't that also stolen from like, right, because he falls down afterwards. I was like, isn't that also happens to the bride in fucking Kill Bill 2, right? She's got to climb a lot of stairs. That's part of the whole fucking training, climbing the stairs. Yeah. And by the way, I don't care how good of a shape you're in. You're going to have trouble climbing stairs.
Stairs are tough.
You could be like a goddamn ultra marathoner.
I climb stairs for my job.
And yet,
up and downstairs all the time.
And is it work. Does it ever get easier? No, it's always tiring.
It's not great. I don't love it.
Yeah. New line of work. People say, "Why'd you leave Apple?" And you'll go, "The stairs."
The stairs. It was the stairs mostly. Kung Fu Panda, cute movie. It's not Wall-E. Come on,
no.
Wall-E wins.
No. Wall-E with a bullet.
Yeah.
You want to do that one more time since you lost your job from both the stairs and also. Learning how to do that impression. You want to do it one more time before we move on?
Wally.
So mucus.
Got sort of worse.
It got worse. It got worse.
Yeah. 2009.
Oh.
Up.
Nine. Oh. Oh, nine. Nine. What a fucking banger year.
It's a really good year for animated film.
Banger year. For animated
yeah,
films.
It's such a good year for animated film that one of your favorite films, which we're going to talk about mm-hmm. after we get through these first two, wasn't even nominated for Best
and
Animated
Film. And it's an all-timer for me. And I think it set up a few careers.
Yeah.
Up was the winner.
So obviously, I want to tell you something that I did that I was quite proud of, is that generally... to work all these films into my schedule, you know, I'll have to break them up, unfortunately, but I'll usually watch like half of them, like on my lunch break.
Are you telling me?
And
you
I watched the first half of Up and I managed to not cry.
No. How is that possible?
Only because I was around coworkers that were going to be like, why is this guy just openly sobbing?
I don't think that would
make
it.
Can I tell you though, I almost started crying. Not even at the, obviously, like, at the end of, like, Up, everyone knows. If you've seen Up, the big thing is the first 7 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, the first 7 minutes of the movie and then, like, 3 minutes near the end are, like, the most devastating minutes.
First 7 minutes, absolutely crushing the short, like, you know, running through the life of Carl and Ellie. I almost started crying immediately when... Ellie gives him the grape soda button.
Yeah.
Just because I know what's going to happen later in the movie
with the grape soda button. Yeah.
So that almost got me. And then obviously, like, you have... So this is what I was talking about when we were talking about the other movie, is I feel like this is very much two different movies. It very much sets up... Because after that first 7 to 10 minutes, this is a very kid-friendly film.
Very much
so. It's about a crotchety old man and, you know, a kid. They go on an adventure. They're talking dogs. There's a big bird.
I think the thing, too, for me that was... Because here's the thing is if you had asked me before I rewatched Up, I would have been like, I think Up is a contender for my favorite Pixar movie. Like, there's one more that we're not going to talk about this time that's in the next section. That is, I think, probably my, that I would think of as my favorite, but I would have put Up as number two. And I don't know that it is anymore. And here's, and that is not an indictment. I'm not saying this is not a good movie. It is a great movie,
right.
but they know what they're doing. These motherfuckers at Pixar, they know what they're doing. They pull the emotional strings for you hardcore. My problem with it is, okay, so there's the beginning of Ellie and what's her name? That's name?
Carl.
Carl, sorry.
Yeah.
Ellie and Carl, which is devastating. She wants to have a baby. She can't have a baby. Hits close to home for me. Very, very sad.
Yeah.
Then there's like the stuff with Carl and the kid's name is the kid.
The kid's name is Randall?
Randall.
I'm going to double check that.
Whatever. The stuff with the kid and him is great, and you think, and there's a point where the kid talks
about Russell.
Russell.
Know people were just screaming at me.
Like, Russell!
Idiot, Randall. Russell,
did you watch this movie
idiot.
Or not? The stuff with Russell and Carl, and when Russell's telling the story of like his dad, his parents clearly got divorced and his dad doesn't come around so much anymore and his dad's new wife doesn't want him to call and all this stuff. And so that's like, you think like, well, that's what's going to, it's going to be about like them sort of forming this bond. Then there's the adventurer bit on the blimp.
Yeah.
And I don't care about that. And right. I don't, and I think that takes away from.
I also don't, I don't 100% understand.
I don't either.
Are we supposed to assume this adventurer?
He's been there,
I mean,
the
obviously
entire
he's
time?
An inventor, but he's a grown man.
Yeah.
Like, I would have guessed he was in his, like, late 30s, early 40s, based on when Carl is a child.
Yes.
Like a 7-year-old. And
then
now
Carl grows up and
Carl
is
like
70
very
something.
Old.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this man is just like walking around like it's nothing. I guess he is an adventurer. He's from Hardy Stock.
Yeah, I don't care. He must be 100 years old. I don't care how hardy your stock is. You're still, you're not climbing on blimps and stuff. I just was like, this is, and then he's been down there. He's just been there the whole time.
He's been looking for the bird that
the
got him kicked
time.
Out of the. He's been looking for Kevin.
Great. I just don't need any of that. I don't need any of that plot. And I don't know what it is instead. And people are like, well, that's the movie. And it's like, well,
yeah.
I guess that's, I think the thing is like, it's not badly done. It doesn't bother me. I'm not like, this is whatever,
right.
But you've set me up for something that is really emotional and beautiful and like fun and, you know, whatever, and all of this stuff. And then I'm like being pulled away by this like old guy on the blimp and I'm asking questions that I shouldn't have to ask in animation. Like why is he, you know? And I guess that's so silly because, like, why am I questioning that? They also flew a house down to South America. So
With
balloons. So that's stupid of me. But I just was sort of like, I don't know. I remember this movie as being emotionally devastating, which it is. And then at the end, the other part that I cried at, obviously, is when he finds the book. The picture book of stuff I'm going to do. And then turns the page and it's all stuff that they, all the pictures and stuff of their lives together. And she says, go have some adventures of your own. Devastating.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Amazing. Yeah. But all the stuff in between is fine, but is not like, it doesn't live up to the promise of the premises, I guess. My point.
It does feel like in a way they came up with that part of the movie and then someone came in and was like, maybe even Pete Docter himself came in and was like, this is Pete Docter. And was like, hey, I want to do this thing at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, all right.
Okay. I
think that's what everybody has, every grown up thinks of when they think of up. They don't.
Yeah. They don't think of the blimp and the.
Although I did also write down.
The talking dog thing is pretty fun.
Yeah. I wrote down because I felt like this is very. I was hiding under your porch because I love you.
Yeah,
can I stay?
Love it.
That almost made me cry too.
Pet ownership. It fucks with you.
Yeah. But I do think this, like, the squirrel thing's funny. That's funny for all ages.
Yeah.
That is talking dogs and all, they keep getting distracted by squirrels and the word treat and stuff like that.
Because
you know what? That's what dogs do.
And when the alpha dog, his thing gets broken and he has the high voice and he's like.
Yeah.
That's fun. It's funny.
Yeah. Good movie.
Good movie.
I identified as the runner-up of the nominees. And again, good year of nominees. You got Coraline this year. You got
Princess
Secret
and the
Cows.
Frog, which is
Princess
a great, but does not get its flowers in the, or maybe it does now, that like that generation has grown up a little bit more. But like, that is a great Disney movie. The songs from that movie are bangers.
I think a lot of people now consider that the beginning of
part
like,
two.
The net, like, you know, you have like the Aladdin generation kind of tapering off, but we sort of talked about through, like, I guess, like the Tarzan
Pocahontas
area.
Yeah,
area.
Tarzan, whatever.
And then a real drop off with, you know, like Treasure Planet. I know they're defenders of these movies, but Treasure Planet and Bolt and stuff like that. And then Princess and the Frog seemingly was kind of the rebirth with that and Tangled and then into Frozen, which we'll talk about in a moment, stuff like that. But I chose The Fantastic Mr. Fox. We're both avowed Wes Anderson fans.
Love him. Love that guy.
And
this movie is amazing. I love this
movie. It's great. And I think Fantastic Mr. Fox, for me, it's one of Wes Anderson's best films, full stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just super enjoyable. It's just like a great movie to just put on and be like, yeah, let's ride.
And forgive me, it's stop motion, right? That's what the
yes,
and, yeah. I think that's so. I love that style of animation. I think it looks cool. I love the way they move. Like these characters move. Mm-hmm. I love the way he has them eating.
Yeah.
Whenever they eat.
That they eat, like, that they're very humanistic until they eat, and then it's very just like...
Yeah. Wild animals. Are you cussing at me? You cussing at me?
Yeah.
Like,
you cussing
me? Cuss I am. Like, that is such a funny scene. It's super good. And George Clooney, man.
I actually wrote this down. This is one of the best pairings of personality to voice work that I can think of. Like, it's the perfect choice. And it's really hard. Like, obviously you don't have to because Clooney plays the part, but I don't know who they could have gotten that I would have been like, that's even close to the same thing.
Like, I think the other thing too is like George Clooney should do more like wackadoo comedies. Like I loved him so much in, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? He is like a funny, I don't know. He's like, again, the script has to be right. And I hesitate to say this because then there's like for every, you know, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou or whatever, then there's like, you get Jon Hamm or Justin Timberlake who was told they were funny like one time and are like,
right,
you know, I'm going to do it now. And it doesn't work. But I think that George Clooney, like, there is a really specific tone that he hits, and it's like it's very funny and very likable. And I just think he's great in it. I think all the voice cast is really good in it, and it's just, it's just fucking great. It's a great movie.
Did you cry watching The Fantastic Mr. Fox?
I did.
Okay. Can I guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
Was it when Mr. Fox says to his son, I'm glad it was you?
Of course. Of course. Of course. It makes me cry thinking about it now when he's like, I didn't know what it was going to be, but I'm so glad it's you. That's so emotional. As somebody who cried for a full day when I found out that I was having a boy.
Yeah.
And now I would not. It was a disaster. I was like, this is a terrible thing. This is a disaster. What are we going to do? And now I would not have it any other way.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about your movie?
Yes. 2009 is also the year of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, which is I'm not sure. That's before the Lego movie, right, Craig? Yeah. So.
Yes.
So this is like the first I'd known of Lord and Miller. This movie is so fucking funny. Like the thing is like my favorite show is 30 Rock, and it's a very it's a difficult show, I assume, to write. Every other line is a joke. Every other line, this movie is the animated movie version of 30 Rock. Every other line is a joke. They're good jokes, and I rewatched it. I hadn't watched it in a few years because when it first came out, I was obsessed with it. And I hadn't watched it in a few years, and then I rewatched it just this weekend, and to see if it held up. And like the jokes are still really funny. It's really funny. It's great. Again, the voice cast is great. Bill Hader is so fun, and James Caan is his dad, and he's really fun. And
yeah, Anna Faris
is really. Is really great in it too. Will Forte is like the one of the townspeople, and he has some of the best lines. Like that, he's in the splash zone for the sardine, whatever. And then when the sardine land gets wrecked, everybody gets soaked except for him, and he's like, "Come on!" And then when the cheeseburgers first rain down, and he takes a bite, and he's like, "This is significantly better than sardines."
A sardine.
It's very funny. It's just very, like, it's a great movie. You should check it out. It just holds up really well, and it's just super enjoyable and fun.
It's a little strange because I'm sure they were just being done at the same time, but I wonder when it came out. I bet they were like, damn it, the mayor has Wally body. People are going to think.
He does, but then he gets super fat. And then when he goes to see Flint to be like, you should do a deep fried turkey wrapped in a pizza or, you know, like dipped in chocolate. And he's like, it's me, the mayor. Flint's like, oh, I didn't recognize you.
Great. Did you get a haircut?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. It's great. It's a great movie. It's very funny.
Good movie. So of those three films, what would you give the Oscar to?
The thing is I'm going to rewatch, although I would rewatch all three of these movies, like on the reg. I think it's great. Uh-huh. They're each for different times. Wally is a little more introspective. Cloudy is like just jokes.
You mean
jokes.
Up.
This sorry, is up. Up, sorry, yeah. Up. Up yeah. is a little more, you know, if you want to cry, watch Up. Jokes, watch Cloudy. But I think Fantastic Mr. Fox is the best made movie of 2009. Best made animated movie of 2009.
Megan, I agree.
Wow.
And again, Up is going to be, even with, you know, our caveats to like a lot of the film, Up is still going to be like up there for me with Pixar films.
Yeah.
But I think Fantastic Mr. Fox should have taken the gold.
What won the Academy Award for Best Picture in 2009?
2009 was The Hurt Locker.
Good year.
Yeah.
Good year. Just curious. I mean, like, that Fantastic Mr. Fox is, again, another one that I'm like, I could see that being nominated for Best Picture. It's just really... And maybe if it was made today, you know, maybe it would be.
Yeah. Well, Up was. Yeah.
Up was. Mm-hmm. Really? That's so interesting. Yeah. I'm telling you, it's because... It is because when you are, I think you know this, right? When you're auditioning for stuff, they always say like, acting teachers, whatever.
Yeah.
When you're auditioning, it's always like, you got to nail the first like five lines. If you don't have time to memorize an entire script, memorize the first five lines and really nail those. And then the last like two. And that to me is Up. I'm like, you nailed the first five lines and you nailed the last two. And that's kind of what people remember about it.
Yeah. Totally.
And yeah. And that's enough. And the rest of it is not bad. It's fine.
Yeah. All right. 2010. Toy Story. Trey.
Toy Story.
This gets into a little bit of a, you know, obviously we've had another Toy Story movie. We've had two other Toy Story movies we talked about on our last podcast. This gets into a little sequel stretch.
Yeah.
These last four films, there's only one original and three sequels. So, but Toy Story 3 obviously is a high bar to clear in terms of sequel.
Impossibly high. Is it the best sequel? Is it one of the greatest sequels of all time, animated or otherwise? I think so. What's better than this? Godfather Part 2?
Yeah. I would say yes. Fast 5.
Honestly, you're not wrong. Fast 5. Yeah. The best of the Fast movies.
Yeah. Ant-Man and the Wasp. Quantumania. Look, we're just listing off the classics
we're
here.
These are, you know, Mount Rushmore of sequels.
Yeah. Toy Story 3, great film. It's Buzz and Woody. Andy's going to college. You know, he's trying to put all his toys that he wants to... The keepers in the old attic. There's a mix-up because he throws them in a trash bag. Mm-hmm. They almost go into the garbage. This isn't the first time in the film they're going to go into the garbage almost. End up at a daycare. Seems like everything's going to be hunky-dory. Not so. Not so because of Lotso.
Smells like strawberries. What a great villain.
Yeah.
He plays a villain again, too. Yeah. Plays a villain in another movie.
He, I will say of the villains that we've seen in Pixar movies, it's bad how he ends up because he has to live in hell. But we don't see him get like torn apart psychologically damaged in the same way that
because you know why? Because his story, he didn't really deserve that. His story was also like very sad. These movies really, the Toy Story movies in particular, because there's such a, we talked about this last time, because there's such a simple concept, but like there, it's such a universal concept too. Like we've all had toys that you start thinking back, you apply it to your own life and you go like, oh God,
Well, the home video montage at the beginning. Yeah. So I think the thing people think of the most when they think of this movie and what would be like the cry moment, which actually didn't make me cry this time, is probably, you know, like they're all in like the trash compactor and they're all holding hands. What got me, one of the things that got me this time was the opening home video montage.
100%. Oh, 100% cried at that. 100% cried at that. 100% cried at that. Yeah. The opening, the home video montage was very sad. And also I had not cried before, I don't think, at the story of Lotso, of how they got to where they are and how it was like no kid loved a, you know, again, these kids and their things, and then the baby doll being like wanting to go home too, and that is such a sad thing.
And it didn't make me cry because it's done in a very comical way. But I think the Buster reveal, and they're like, Buster.
Yeah.
And
when he comes in and he's an old dog.
He comes in, but it's been 11 years. So instead of like the crazy dog that Woody would ride when he needed to get somewhere quickly, it's like this 12-year-old with his belly hanging on the ground.
Yeah. Who comes in Buster. To take a nap. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was the exact same way. I did not. The part that everybody remembers is when they're about to like burn up in fire and they're all holding hands. Yeah. And it's so well done. And I remember like really crying at it the first time I saw it. I think I didn't cry this time too, because I know what's coming. First of all, I know they don't die. And then I know the part later on. Oof. That is, I can't even talk about it.
When he's playing with Molly.
Yeah.
When Andy's playing with his toys with Molly. Yeah. And describing all of them. And, you know, then, you know, you've got Dr. Pricklepants there. And
all your favorites.
We do a lot of improv.
We do a lot of improv. I love when she says the Kristen Schaal character, dinosaur, and they're like, who's this down the street? And she's like, just a dinosaur. just a dinosaur. It's great. It's a great part. Yeah. When she reaches for Woody and he instinctively, like, grabs him back.
Like moves it away. Yeah.
It's really sad.
The one thing I will say, and this is more about the series because they do it again in this film, is I feel like at a certain point they didn't know what to do with the Buzz character anymore. So they just so they just constantly fall on like, this time he's reset. And last time it's a different Buzz, but it's, they all think it's Buzz, but he's like the old Buzz again. It's like, all right, let's figure something else out to do with old Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, the Buzz character is nobody's favorite. Tim Allen, nobody's favorite.
Nobody's favorite. Who's the most terrifying toy in this film?
The baby. The big baby.
See, I think it's the monkey.
Oh, the monkey. I'm sorry. You're right. The monkey is scarier, especially when you hear the story, the backstory of the baby.
Of Big Baby.
Big Baby. You feel whatever. Yeah, the monkey is terrifying. At the end, even when he's good monkey and he's like clapping and stuff, it's
He reminds me when I was growing up, you know, when we're of an age that when I was growing up going to the grocery store and they had VHS for rent at your local grocery store. Just walking through and seeing like, you know, like they'd have like whatever, like 45 movies you could rent. But in their horror section, they would have, there was a movie Monkey Shines, which basically looks like that monkey, but he was holding a butcher knife instead of symbols. Very scary. Seared in my brain. So I guess probably the main competition, what I chose as the main competition, multiple sequels, would be How to Train Your Dragon, which I think people probably mostly respond to primarily for the animation of the film.
I mean, I think it's, I remember seeing this movie in theaters and I loved it then. And I love this movie now. I thought it was great. I think the stuff, like, they did the really smart thing of making Toothless, the main dragon, super adorable. And then, like, the first time that Hiccup, voiced by Jay Baruchel, and Toothless fly together, it's like amazing. You feel like you're flying. It's such a cool, like it's super right. well done. It's like really exciting and it's great. It's, yeah. I liked it.
I like that they kind of design all the dragons differently. I think that's a cool choice. I'd never seen this movie before. I'd only ever seen the third one.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's definitely, I think it's a really solid film. I think ultimately I probably would like it a little bit better, with a different main voice actor. I'm not
yeah, I really
super
like,
into Jay Baruchel.
I loved
Blackberry. Did you see Blackberry?
No, I did not see Blackberry, but I heard it was good.
I think he's really good in it. Glenn Howerton's amazing in that movie, but, I'm not a big Baruchel guy. I do think it's funny that Jonah Hill's like his antagonist voice character yeah. because they famously sort of really dislike yeah. each other in real life.
I think you're right about that. Like as much as I'm not saying he didn't put his all into it, but it does sound a lot of times when he's talking, you're like, he's like, oh no, the dragons are coming. Like does he want to yeah. be doing this? I'm not sure.
And the end, for whatever reason, even though like he's risking his life and there's, you know, the possibility that, you know, is he okay? It didn't really do a ton for me. Like it didn't emotionally get me, but I do think How to Train Your Dragon is a good film, but it's not Toy Story 3.
Literally nothing is. That movie fucking slaps. Great year. Great couple yeah. of years for animated movies. And then let's talk about 2011.
2011.
So, Craig, how was that year for animated films?
Pixar's entry is a little film called Cars 2, which notably is the first Pixar film to not be nominated for Best Animated Feature since the category began, and if any year that Pixar had a movie.
That's maybe the number one thing that the Academy has gotten right in their entire existence. Good job, guys. Way to not reward, not even just mediocrity. Absolute fucking garbage.
I would say for probably most people that aren't, you know, 6 to 11-year-old boys, Cars 2, at least until the last few years, represented the nadir of Pixar filmmaking. I remembered about 15 minutes into this movie that it's primarily a Mater yeah. film, who I think is fine as a supporting character, but should not be towing.
Yikes.
This movie, if you will. It opens as like a spy thriller, and we don't even see any of our regular characters for the first 10 minutes of the movie. It's like a James Bond.
Yeah, if I didn't see animated
parody.
Talking cars, I would have been like, am I watching the right movie? Who is this?
And it actually almost made me want to be like, then just call it Cars 2 and do it with all different
yeah.
characters,
why,
but they're Cars
why are
characters.
We trying to
why even bring
Lightning
in?
And Mater, yeah. who are best friends now or whatever, into this thing? I just think the Mater for me is like not a fun, like I don't, even in Cars 1, like I did not find him that funny and like I don't care about yeah. that character at all. So I was super annoyed when it turned out to be mostly about him and Michael Caine, who is always
yeah.
showing up in shitty sequels.
But you did like when they intimated that Mater had written a porno film from the hotel that they
yeah,
were staying at.
That was super confusing. Also when he leaked oil all over the stage, which I wasn't sure if that was supposed to be like, did he pee or was that, did he come? He was like, oh, your friend's excited. I was like, did he come on stage there? Is that what that was?
You know, we'll never know for sure. I thought that it was supposed to be at urine or, you know, he defecated.
He should
have. Because he does say, you know, I've never done that before. So
gross. So gross. So gross.
My last two notes about this movie are, this movie is such a misfire, followed by this stinks.
It just was like, and those two notes are correct. It just is, I just don't understand. At one point I paused and I was like, there's probably only like 15 minutes left. I should just keep going. And I paused. And there was an hour. It was an hour left yeah. in this movie. It is a fucking drag. And also just very convoluted plot for a goddamn children's movie. Like, it's about, yeah. like, oil, but also, like, alternative fuel. And who's... The alternative fuel is bad, but no, actually, it's not bad. But it was so...
Yeah, they do make it seem like it's going to be, like, a pro-big oil film for a brief period of time,
yeah.
which is
a
odd.
Choice. Yeah. This movie sucks.
But it's competition. I mean, I shouldn't really even say competition because, again, it wasn't nominated. The winner of the Oscar this year is about that famous gecko sheriff. Rango.
They have, there's a chorus of, what are they, like weasels or mice or what's the
I thought they were like maybe like desert rodents, like desert rats.
Yeah. Anyway, I like that chorus. I like them. I like this movie. It's very strange.
It's a weird film. It opens with basically we find out that Rango is like this pet gecko, and then because of a car accident, he's ejected out onto the road.
Is he a gecko or is he a conversation. Chameleon?
Oh, I guess, I don't know. I guess he could be a chameleon. Maybe he's a chameleon. Yeah, I guess he's, no, I'm thinking of the Geico gecko.
You're thinking That's of the Geico, because he tries to.
Do you think him and Rango him and Rango know each other?
What, do you think all fucking reptiles are just like pals? That's racist.
I don't know. I just, well, they're both famous is what I'm saying. Though.
You think all famous people know each other?
I think all famous gecko chameleons. I think it's probably
That's true.
Small
it's probably
group.
Small thing.
Yeah. The Don Quixote armadillo that's just been run completely.
Yeah,
over.
That was
that's an odd thing for a children's film to feature.
That was strange. He says to the Barbie doll that he shares like his little, you know, enclosure with. He looks and he goes, "Are those real?" About her tits, which is weird.
Yeah, it does seem like it's a movie pitched a little more towards it. Like Pixar films are, you know, kids' movies with adult. Jokes for adults, content for adults. This feels like it's pitched somewhere older. I guess maybe teen, but I don't know. It seems like it's pitched for like a very specific like subset of like late teen, early 20 hipsters.
It's pitched for Johnny Depp fans, like, you know, for sure.
You know what? You know it's a great film.
Rango. It'll blow your mind, man. It's real subversive. Yeah. It's pitched for Johnny Depp fans. I think they like shot a lot of it like in person. Like they like recorded like them
and then
doing
animated,
it.
And then animated kind of based on that.
Yeah, because they move very much like he moves like Johnny Depp moves, which is cool. Cool to see.
A lot of nods to classic films, in particular like Chinatown. Ned Beatty's basically just doing John Huston. Can I ask you a question though? Beans, the love interest. What is Beans?
I mean, you didn't know. We are not sure what the difference is between a gecko and a chameleon. So I don't know that we are the right people to answer that question. I don't know. Is she not the same thing as Rango?
Well, because there's animals of all kind. I mean, they're famously very afraid of birds, although there are birds that live in the town as well.
Right.
But not, you know, they're afraid of the hawk.
Right. But the snake is so much bigger. Like the hawk is, the snake is like bigger than the hawk.
Which is weird because it's like a rattlesnake, which are not famously like huge snakes. Like
no.
It's basically like an anaconda sized rattlesnake.
He literally, when he's threatening Beans at the end, he's like, "I'm going to squeeze you to your ass." And I'm like, well, that's not how rattlesnakes kill their prey though. They just bite them.
Yeah. It's sort of like, it's a Fury Road-esque story about water and how water is power. They do a strange rain dance at one point in the film. It's a weird movie.
Ned Beatty, also the bad guy, just like in Toy Story, Story 3.
Yeah. Animation is fantastic.
Yeah, it looks really cool. I think it looks really cool. Yeah. And I think like, again, there's some weird, like off color, strange shit in this movie, but like. Strange, like, it's a strange movie. When they're, like, kind of, like, they're doing the water thing, and there's, like, there's a cross.
Yeah.
It's strange. I liked it. It's weird, but it moves, you know?
And there's an Eastwood stand-in at the end that it feels like they went out to him, like, seven times, and were like, "Hey, Clint, will you do this?" And he said no every time.
Every single
time. They're like, "We're getting Timothy Olyphant," I guess.
Timmy-o.
As strange as Rango is, luckily, we're not giving Cars 2 anything.
No.
So, Rango.
No, Rango.
Congratulations.
Although 2011 is also the year of a Spielberg movie that deserves a real shout out there, which is The Adventures of Les Aventures de Tintin. And there's one really amazing.
Yep.
Not nominated.
Yeah.
There's one really amazing, like, one shot, like, of a chase scene where in Morocco that's pretty famous, that's really cool looking. It's impressive. It's a feat. I just don't like that style of animation. I don't like...
Right.
I do not like this, like, uncanny valley, like, they look like people. Just hire people, then. Just have it be people.
Yeah.
I don't... This movie, The Polar Express, it creeps me out. I don't like that style of animation. So, like, it's the thing of, like, oh, I'm really impressed with a lot of the... I'm really impressed with, like, the shots that they have for this movie.
Right.
And the way that it's shot. But it's because it's, like, Spielberg. You know, he's... Even The Fablemans, which I didn't like. I'm like, well, he's good at what he does, you know? He's great at it. But it's just not... It's not for me. I would prefer Rango.
Yeah. 2012... I turned my mom into a bear?
Sounds like...
I turned my mom into a bear.
Awesome. One cheese pizza. One lump of haggis just for me.
Another truly traumatizing Pixar opening.
Absolutely.
With the demon bear. But, you know, all's well that ends well. Dad just lost a leg.
But you know what? I think he would have preferred to lose that leg anyway because he got a great story out of it. And that story went a long way. This movie is about a mother and daughter, and I can relate. Because, you know, I have one mother.
You have a mother.
I am
a daughter. I am a daughter. You're also a mother. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Again... I feel like this movie doesn't get its flowers and give this movie its flowers. This is a great movie. Also starring one of my all-time favorite Scottish actresses, Kelly MacDonald.
Yeah. Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson?
Isn't Emma Thompson the voice? I think she's
the voice of the mom. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Didn't even think about that. Didn't think to look that up. Was just so blown away by Kelly MacDonald. It's very emotional. It's also very funny. It's like the stuff with the witch is really funny. I don't know. I like it. I think this movie is great. And I think the main character is a great role model princess.
Yeah. There's some good stuff with, the bear. Like when she, takes off the bear crown before trying to catch a fish, when she goes to catch a fish, but she has to take off her crown first.
Yeah, that's fun.
That's cute. Did you cry?
Yes.
When she fights Mordu.
Yeah. And yeah.
I almost cried. I did not cry. I welled up a little bit.
And she says, like, oh, I'm so... And she's like, no, no. I think I also... She transforms back. Yeah. And she's like, so happy. Yeah. I cried at that. I also think I got a little...
And then she's like, I'm naked.
Yeah.
And then Billy Connolly is like, look away.
I think I got a little welled up,
get
too.
Get in my belly.
Billy Connolly is... Who that bastard's based on. I think I got a little welled up too when she first became a bear. Like, because she transforms to a bear, but she's still the mom. And then, like, the curse is, like, if she doesn't, whatever, by the second day, change back to a human, she'll be like a wild animal. And there's a point where she, after they catch the fish, where she like becomes like a bear and the eyes go black. They're not like her mom's eyes anymore. And it's frightening. It's upsetting.
Yeah. Sad. Yeah.
Yeah. I cried at the end. I think it's great. I think it's a good movie.
Yeah. I think Brave suffers because it's in between Cars 2 and Monsters University, which we will talk about soon, just because I think like it gets like kind of wrapped up in this, oh, Pixar's only like bringing back their popular properties and like people sort of forget about it.
I agree.
So I identified this, this is actually a very pretty strong year as well. This was the year of Frankenweenie. This was the year of Paranorman. But the movie I chose as runner-up was Wreck-It Ralph.
I'm gonna wreck it. Fine.
I like this movie.
Yeah, I know, you know. Remember when this movie came out and everybody was like so mad because they, well, all these fucking nerds, my husband included, was so mad because they were like, it's a candy movie. It's not a movie about video games. It's a movie about candy. I disagree. There's plenty of video game shit in it. And also, what the... forget out of here, nerd.
Yeah.
Plenty of video games.
I mean,
movies.
I could watch like a 30-minute short just of him at the Bad Guys Anonymous meeting. Particularly when he says like he like doesn't want to be bad anymore, and like they like Bowser like shoots fireballs out of his mouth and like the ghost from Pac-Man that's like running the meeting like does the like weird Pac-Man color change thing. Yeah. Like that stuff is good. I also really like the names of all the racers. It just seems like they just kept spitballing like dumber names like as they were going through. Candlehead.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think they did a good job. Sarah Silverman also perfect casting. She's got that
great voice acting.
Yeah, that little voice, and they made that character so impossibly cute, like super adorable, and but with kind of a like a bad tude, which is nice. Yeah, I mean, this movie's fine. I kind of put it on the same level as Kung Fu Panda. I'm like, okay.
I like this a little bit better than Kung Fu Panda.
I think I do, too.
This is really close for me.
Really? Well, I have one other that I would like to shout out, which is...
Great. I just want to say with this, like, for me, the highs of Wreck-It Ralph are higher than Brave, but Brave maybe overall is a better movie.
Yeah. I mean, I think Brave is a better movie. I think Brave is the movie. I think the other movie that I want to bring up is It's Such a Beautiful Day, the Don Hertzfeldt movie, which is a full-length movie, but is also, like, it's difficult to watch. It's a devastating movie. It's very about the ephemeral nature of life. Shout out Don Hertzfeldt. If you want to like question your existence, watch It's a Beautiful Day. It's Such a Beautiful Day. And
you know, if you want to think about having a spoon that's too big,
then you can do that too.
Don Hertzfeldt.
Don Hertzfeldt.
For the love of God and all that is holy, my anus is bleeding.
But I think I still pick Brave. I really like that movie.
Brave won. I'm going to give it to Brave, but it's close for me. And that brings us to 2013, another Pixar film not nominated, and that is Monsters University.
You know, when I told my sister, I was like, we're going to talk about all Pixar's movies. And she goes, does that mean you're going to talk about Monsters University? I said, yeah. And she goes, that's my favorite. She was in a sorority, though. I think that does something to your brain.
Okay. So she was like, which sorority was she in? She was in HISS or she was in...
Whatever the one where they all look the same and are really mean.
Right.
That one.
Yeah. They're not the goth girls.
No. The one...
Lauren's not a goth girl.
The ones
girl.
That are like, we're going to... Good luck. We're going to rip your face off or whatever. That's it. It's that.
Yeah. Yeah.
This movie is... I'd never seen this one before. And it's better than I...
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I had not seen this. It's better than I thought it was going to be. It just, like, super pales in comparison to Monsters, Inc., I guess, is the problem.
And you know why? You know why I think it is?
There's no boo?
I think it's because... Well, that's part of it. But I think that Sully in this film is the antagonist for most of the movie. As opposed to Mike is sort of the antagonist. Like, Sully's, like, the sweet guy, and, like, Mike's the one that, like, can rub you a little
wrong.
Yeah,
totally.
And they try and flip it in this, and I just don't think, like, that vocally it just doesn't work for me. Or maybe it's just because I already know the characters.
I think you're right.
But, like, yeah.
I think you're right, and I think that's...
I think Mike's origin story is very cute, like, the very beginning of the film. Yeah.
When he goes in the thing. I think that's very true. That's why I think everything you said is true, which is why I think this back half of this movie works a lot better. Like... like games or whatever, like, and like them teaching the, even though it's funny, I guess them teaching like the dumb frat to like be better. Once Mike and Sully are friends and not the bad guy, but the antagonist is it Helen Mirren that's doing this voice?
She's like the, she's the dean of the
dean of the school.
Who's like one of the greatest scarers of all time, Dean Hardgrave.
When she says, it's very devastating when she says to Sully, when Sully's like, but Mike works so hard. And she's like, but is he scary? Like, no, he's not scary. Like, I thought that was a great, I thought that was a fun turn. And like, Mm-hmm. And then when he goes into the room and all the kids are like, you're funny looking, and they're not afraid of him, how devastating that is. I think the second half of it works really well for me. The first half, I'm just like,
yeah,
I want to get through it. Because I want them to be, you want them to be yeah. friends. You saw them being friends and it was yeah. really fun, the two of them as a duo. So you don't like to, I don't like to see the two of them like fighting, I guess. We yeah. know that they're friends.
And then I like the very end where we see them like work their way from like the mail room yeah. to janitorial staff. And I like the cameo by the Abominable Snowman. He's like, you better do this or they'll, I can't remember exactly what he says, but basically he's like, you'll get banished. Yeah. And of course we see him in the first movie and he's been like, although they don't know who he yeah. is, which
is, that's a, they retconned.
That's an issue.
Yeah.
That's a continuity yeah, issue. All right. Scripty. Can we get in here?
Can we get Scripty in here to fix this? Yeah, it's great. Sad that not to see Boo, but I understand why they did that.
Yeah.
And that was smart of them.
Cause she wasn't alive.
Yeah. It was smart.
But you know what, Megan?
Yeah. What, Craig?
Do you want to build a snowman?
The abominable one? What a slow burn.
I don't.
Frozen. Mm.
I don't love Frozen.
Get out. We're going to turn this off right now.
The movie. I think there are some banger songs.
You're
absolutely.
You're wrong. This movie rules. What are you talking about? The songs are the movie. How do you like the songs, but you don't like the movie?
I can't decide if it takes too long or it's a really nice twist with Hans.
I think it's a good.
I feel like it's a little bit of both.
Here's the thing.
I think it's a good twist, but I feel like we need to see, like, particularly in a kids movie, I feel like we need to see
some sort of signs. Yeah. I will say,
yeah.
I think the first time I saw this movie, I was really shocked that he was. I was like, how are they going to play out this love triangle? Because that other guy's perfectly yeah. nice.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is too. Maybe you're really supposed to think he's perfectly nice, perfectly nice. And that also makes Anna look right. not like like a dumbass.
Yeah. I don't like Olaf.
I don't like Olaf, and I don't think Olaf is funny. And I also would say, don't cast Jonathan Groff and not let him sing. You gave him one dumb yeah. song that's not even a song. He's Jonathan Groff. Give him something. Give this kid something to do. That's my criticism.
Well, the other thing is I don't like that Christoph voices Sven. I hate every single time he talks in Sven's voice.
Oh, yeah.
Even though I talk in all my animals' voices all the time, mm-hmm. at least I'm doing it for for my wife and vice versa when she does it for me.
Yeah.
I'm not just talking, and I guess sometimes I actually probably do that when I'm sitting at home alone, but it's not as weird to me as when Christoph does it.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's cutesy to the point where I'm like, nobody enjoys that. But Kristoff's kind of hot, so yeah. and I'm not into blondes.
Yeah,
I don't like the yeah. magical gnomes.
Let me tell you something. You'd finish his sandwich.
Hey, oh,
the trolls are. I forgot how much trolls.
There's
are
too
in
much
the film.
Trolls. There are too many. There's too much yeah. trolls. You forget because they do not. They are not in pop culture at all.
Yeah.
Like you see, yeah. you see Olaf everywhere, and you see like fucking Anna Elsa backpacks, yeah. but you never see those trolls.
You don't see those trolls.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think it's better than Monsters University.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good.
I don't love it.
I actually do love it. I think it's a very good movie.
You do.
I
think Frozen 2, which we will not talk about on this podcast, is one of the worst films of the last 5 years.
You took the goddamn words out of my mouth. Frozen 2 makes Cars 2 look like The Godfather Part 2. You heard it here.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
Yeah, Frozen 2 sucks. But
Frozen, congratulations. You still have an Oscar.
Yeah. Good for you.
Meg.
Greg.
We've done it. We've done 7 more Pixar films in their competition, which means we only have 13 to go, not counting Inside Out 2.
Wow.
We'll try and see also.
So we have two more parts to go.
Yeah, we won't. But this starts being a time where Pixar releases multiple films in a year. So we won't have to necessarily watch as many films because there are a lot of years that it's like we're not watching like 2020. We're watching the Pixar movie and the other movie. We're watching like 2 Pixar movies and 1 other movie. So the sheer amount of films will go down slightly because we have. You know, it's only 10 years of films.
Great.
that these other 13 movies have been released during. So
we're starting with 2015 next time, guys. See you here to talk about Inside Out and The Good Dinosaur.
Get ready for it. Meg, do you have a favorite film from 2024?
It's still Dune 2. I love Dune 2. I am a real Dune head, but I'm super excited to see the other Zendaya movie of this year, my queen. Challengers.
Yeah.
But not,
Challengers.
Not yet. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah. Mine is also still Dune 2. Although I like Challengers. I didn't love it as much as
I know. That's why I'm so curious. A lot of people are really loving it. I'm loving her press tour. But she looks phenomenal in everything.
Yeah. Listen, she looks great in the movie. Meg, anything you want to plug?
This podcast. Watch this podcast.
Yeah, check it out. Listen to all the back episodes.
Watch this podcast. Listen to them. Yeah, listen to all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. You can follow us on Twitter at The Oscar Should, on Instagram or Facebook at The Oscar Should Have Gone To.
Sure.
If you like what you listen to, you can rate it and review us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. And we'll be back in a few weeks talking about more latter-day Pixar films. But in the meantime, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.